Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Leave the encampment or be suspended. The witching hour has come. Let's see what happens at Columbia University. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That's how you get to be a part of the show. Tony at TonyKatz.com. Do people have the right to protest? Absolutely. Even if it's something disgusting, you bet. Let disgusting people show themselves. Let us see who they are, and let us see how they are supported. Let's not forget that at these campuses, if we want to argue that the students are bigots, we can. But the students are supported by an administration, by professors who are bigots. And honestly, this wasn't going to be my main topic of the day, but when Columbia put out the statement, 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., it's time for you.
Folks who have been arrested on at least 15 college campuses across the country, including right here at Columbia. Of course, these protests go back several weeks now, and now they're starting to affect college graduations. And folks here at Columbia University, where that encampment is, guys, that's exactly where they hold their graduation ceremonies.
That's from Newsmax. I've got a little bit of everything going on right now. I'm checking in on all of it. Columbia put out the message. Hey, we're done. This was fun. You have till 2 o'clock, and if you leave, when you leave, you have to sign a form that says you're not going to do this again. Otherwise, you're not going to graduate. Now, as for the graduations that have been canceled, we know that USC, University of Southern California, canceled graduation. I know that I should feel bad for these people, but it turns out I'm not really as good of a person as I thought. What do you want me to feel bad about? The university canceled graduation. Well, first they don't get a high school graduation because of COVID. Now they don't get a college graduation. Why are you looking at me like somehow I'm supposed to shed a tear? You went to USC. You didn't know that they sucked? Now, that's a harsh thing to say. You didn't know that the vast majority of universities are weak and pathetic and won't stand up for you and won't stand up to the bullies and won't tell these people to sit down and shut their mouths. We're going to have a graduation no matter what. You didn't know? I have a hard time with the idea that you didn't know. They were never going to tell their professors there's no place for you here. And this is the thing I want to see, by the way. Whether it be Columbia, where the professors absolutely support the idea of calling for the deaths of others based on their religion or anything else, and at NYU, and at the City University of New York, and of course, my beloved Indiana, Indiana University, a host of places across the country. If you want real changes, it isn't a, hey, you have to sign something and we're going to move you off campus with the police. Just like we saw at the University of Georgia, police ended the protest there. The tackling of these so-called protesters, and we call them protesters, but I mean, it's just a nicer way of saying scumbag. They're not protesting. They're not engaged in a free speech conversation or argument. They're engaged in some of the ugliest stuff ever, and they are engaged in acts of violence. If you can't, if they're trying to intimidate, they prevent people from moving. These are acts of violence, and they should be met with force. I believe this. I've discussed this now. It is either them or us. I didn't say they couldn't protest, but you can't stop people from walking down the street. You can't stop people from walking down the street. You can't stop people from walking across campus. You don't get to do that. And not only should you be arrested, you should spend time in jail for doing it because it is violent. And yet, at Emory University and other college campuses, the professors were there to get arrested as well. So, of course, these students feel emboldened. And that's why, at these college campuses, including Indiana University, which is in the sound of my voice right now, I broadcast in Bloomington, Indiana. The show is there on WGCL. It's time to start firing professors. Fire the professors. Fire the administrators. If you have a board of trustees worth their salt and they're backing you, fire the professors. Start now. It isn't professors supporting a student's right to protest. It is the professors supporting the idea that we should call for death, destruction, pain, or harm to people we don't like. Fire them. Oh, screw the tenure. Don't worry about it. Let them sue. Let it happen. By the way, you've got an endowment. You'll be fine. Tell them to go get a job at Berkeley. Because some of these universities won't fire anybody. And these are the universities we will know for forever are garbage. Harvard is garbage for forever. They accept plagiarism if you are gay enough or woman enough or black enough. If you have enough of a box checked, they will accept anything. As a matter of fact, to demand the same academic rigor is proof of the bigotry. I'm not the one who said it. What are you looking at me for? I didn't say anything wrong. All I did was repeat what it is Harvard University said when they tried to keep Claudine Gay as the president of the university. They said they'll accept anything. Well, don't be angry with me for noticing. So we are watching right now. We are watching what's going on at Columbia as the 2 p.m. deadline has arrived, and these students have to they have to go. The encampment has to end. And right now, it's after 2 p.m. Eastern time, and they are not gone. So start telling people they're expelled. Start arresting them, and start utilizing force to move them out of the campus. Expel them. Don't refund their money. They don't get to return. And fire the professors who supported them. I'm interested in solving a problem. I believe this is the way to do it. If solving a problem of the teaching of America hate isn't getting rid of the professors who hate America, well, then you're not solving the problem. I mean, that's just fact. I don't even think that's a reach. That's just facts. So we're keeping our eyes there. Keeping our eyes on what's going on. Meanwhile, the stock market is up. It's up 149. The NASDAQ is up 52. Tesla having a good day because Elon Musk went to China and said, hey, we've got this autopilot thing and it's awesome and we want to do it here and it'll be awesome and you're going to love it and it's going to be awesome. And did I mention I'm Elon Musk and I'm awesome? And China said, oh, interesting. I have no idea what's going to happen. None. Because they've had this offering of what they call full self-driving in China, but it's been restricted to a very limited set of operations. Now they're trying to get it to really build out. And they've come to China to say, hey, let us do this. And meanwhile, the stock is up over 15%. And it has been on a downslide. For a while. Trump media is up more than 12%. Remember when they told us after it came out, the whole thing was collapsing. It was just a big Ponzi scheme. Guys, it's the stock market. I can't tell you what's going to work or when it's going to work or why. But Trump media continues to build now. Remember when it started, It was up at like that $60 a share range. And then it dropped all the way to 22. And now it's at 46. So, full disclosure, I do not own any Tesla or Trump Media and Technology Group. I don't own either one. Maybe I should have. That's the latest with what's going on in the markets. The oil prices are still down a little bit, $82 for West Texas and $88 for the Brent crude. I like to keep up on these things. I like to see what's happening and see where the market goes. And right now, those oil prices still staying under 90. I think that's pretty impressive. Don't worry. I can't imagine it's going to remain that way. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today. There's a lawsuit involving Uber Eats. People think of scams that it's too much work. Scamming somebody is too much work. You might as well just get a job. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Call in. Feel free. Would love to talk to you. So here's what we've got. There are four restaurant groups in, I think it's in Nevada. They're suing to recover damages they say were lost to companies that made and sold food utilizing their name. But they also claim that this was going on while Uber Eats knew it was happening and they didn't care. Uber Eats gets 30% on every transaction. And at that moment, I come to a total stop. 30%? Now, I will tell you that I know a fair amount of restaurateurs. Maybe because of my gig, I know an outsized number of restaurateurs. Neither here nor there. You may know one, you may know many, you may be one. The madness that is the fees for DoorDash and Grubhub, they all admit it. This is insane. It is absolutely insane what these things cost utilizing these services. There is no money to be made. This is a mess. And a fair amount of them still do it because they feel if they don't have it, they'll lose the ability to get the customer another time in another way. So they utilize a service that massively impacts, if not eliminates, a profit motive, a profit opportunity, and they do it because they don't feel they have any other option. That's cuckoo. The other one is, if you want to offer delivery, go ask somebody who owns a local pizzeria exactly how difficult it is to hire delivery drivers. It's super impossible to hire delivery drivers. I'm telling you right now that if you walked into Name the Place and you said, hey, I can deliver between 2 and 6 p.m., 10 and 2 p.m., pick a time frame, they will hire you right now. Right now. You're looking to do something part-time, something to kill some time. Weekends, they'll hire you right now. They cannot find anybody. So you turn to DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats because it's part and parcel of something they're already doing. What's the difference between me driving somebody from point A to point B versus me driving somebody's sandwich from point A to point B? There's no difference. The system is set up. The system works. And what's fascinating is people take a look at those fees and they're like, whatever. And they pay it. And look, I've used them before and sometimes I get it. But then people order McDonald's on it. I'm like, I'm completely lost here. I don't know how that works. You're gonna order McDonald's and you're gonna pay those fees. Crazy. So back to this lawsuit. So Uber Eats is now pausing all applications for virtual kitchens. They require the businesses to provide business licenses and proof of physical address. Okay, now this is a whole nother thing. Do you guys know what virtual kitchens are? So there are companies that have organized, and they say to a restaurant, hey, we love your food. You don't have your food delivered. We would love to do delivery of your food, but we don't want to come to the restaurant and pick it up and take the time, because then the food's not as fresh as it could be. Let us cook it. I'm sorry, what? Let us cook it. What we'll do is we will utilize your recipes, your specifications, your products, your ingredients. We will make it, and then we'll deliver it so it's the freshest representation of your food. In my area, it's called Cluster Truck. I said it right, Cluster Truck. What? What did you hear? Well, you heard that wrong. You heard that wrong, and you need to go find some religion. That's what you need. Shame on you. That's all I'm going to say about that. So there are these organizations, and some of them, you know, are very, very good. The lawsuit estimates that at least 1,000 restaurants in the Las Vegas Valley have been victimized. And they're looking for, wait, hold on, whoa, whoa. They're looking for an excess of $15,000 for each of those companies. So let me do the math here. Hold on a second. I gotta put this together. I gotta do the math. I got $15,000. Hold on a second. So we got $15,000. And then we're going to multiply that by 1,000, carry the 2. Okay, that's $900 billion. All right, it's only 15 million. You could have done that with the zeros and just counted it out, people. You didn't have to pull out a calculator. The argument really is that Uber Eats absolutely knew that these virtual kitchens were impersonating restaurants, but weren't actually the restaurant. They knew it. That part's interesting. If Uber is saying, well, we're no longer going to allow this, and now we're going to double check this and make sure you've got a business license, that, well, that isn't that tacit admission? I guess my point is that it's like a lot of work to set this up. You still had to cook the food. Like it's weird. Why couldn't you just set up your own restaurant and done it? Why did you need to emulate the others? If there is a restaurant in the Las Vegas area, right? Esther's Kitchen. I don't know Esther, but I hear her kitchen. Mwah! Why couldn't you create Ellie's Kitchen or Edith's Kitchen or Eleanor's Kitchen? Or Bob's Kitchen. I don't know. Why did it have to be a woman? Seriously, sexists. You could have created somebody else's kitchen and just sold your stuff. This is the part that is a mind scramble. You didn't even need to do it. Are you telling me that Esther's Kitchen is so world famous or famous around Las Vegas that everybody wants to order from there? I'm not an expert on Vegas. My parents lived there for a short while, and honestly, the greatest, their house was so great. I was I never understood why they moved there, and I was angry when they moved away, because the house was awesome. They never once mentioned Esther's Kitchen. All the times I've been on the Las Vegas Strip, I'm eating at Giada's place, I'm eating at Gordon Ramsay's place, going to Hugo's Cellar up in Fremont, going here, going there. No one ever said, hey, why are we eating this slop? You know where we could go? Esther's Kitchen. And that, by the way, Esther's Kitchen might be wonderful, but you could have opened your own place. Yeah, I think Uber Eats is going to pay out some money. I think that's coming. This is Tony Katz Today. Find everything at tonykatz.com. So you have police lined up at the University of Texas, Austin. You've got no police lined up at Columbia University where, well, the deadline is come and gone. They said, Columbia said, 2 p.m., we're clearing this out. You have to be gone. They are not gone. Yeah, they are right there. They're still being the hateful lowlifes that they are. I wonder what Columbia's going to do. 2 p.m. Eastern was the deadline. It's now 2:35 Eastern. And Columbia hasn't moved. Deadline is a deadline. A red line is a red line. They've got very much Barack Obama red lines. It moves every 5 minutes. You better not cross this. Ooh, you better not cross that one. Oh, definitely don't cross this one. Don't you dare even think. Don't you look at this one. Honestly, the people at Columbia are clearly channeling their inner Joe Biden when they say, don't. That's it. Did I say hello? Tony Katz today. It's good to be with you. By the way, on the campus of Harvard, they took down the American flag and hoisted a Palestinian flag. They hate the country. It's very clear. Equally clear, as was pointed out on Meet the Press yesterday, Democrats don't want Joe Biden engaged in a debate.
I'm curious for what Jen Psaki's reaction would have been like if she was still in the White House when she heard President Biden blurt out during a live interview that he was going to debate. Because Biden's folks don't want him to debate. They don't want to give Trump that platform and risk exposing Biden like that on national TV.
Except I was thinking if I was in my old job from 2 years ago, you also don't want him to say no. Because no is weak. Stop. And no is fear. So you have to say yes.
But they're going to say no. Of course they're going to say no. Joe Biden will never debate Donald Trump, and they'll claim it's because Trump is an insurrectionist and we're not going to give him a platform. It's because Joe Biden is an outrageously old man who doesn't know which end is up. And if he was on a stage, he would get confused and most probably wet himself. That is it. But you can't go long without seeing just some real insanity when it comes to Donald Trump hate. This was fantastic. This was, I'm trying more and more not to share anything regarding MSNBC. What's the point? But every now and then, even they impress with their insanity. They are interviewing a man by the name of Jim Wallace. He's the author of a book called The False White Gospel. That's the name of his book, The False White Gospel. I cannot make this up. Here you go.
How did American Christianity come to be linked with race in this toxic way?
I must take a moment to now ask the question, is Christianity linked with race in a toxic way? This is Jonathan Capehart with the question.
How did American Christianity come to be linked with race in this toxic way?
I didn't know there was something toxic. I did not know. But check this out.
Well, as you and I know, every nation has their better angels and their worst demons. And the worst demons on race run very deep. So Donald Trump isn't a leader, but he's a marketer. He's marketing racial grievance, but I would say he's marketing our worst demons as a nation. And the Bible, he brought the Bible up, so let's bring the Bible up. The Bible exposes Donald Trump and his false white gospel. And the Bible says you can't talk about immigrants like that. You can't favor the rich over the poor. You can't use racial grievance, racial fears. The trajectory is fear, hate, and violence. And that has to be opposed by people who are people of faith. This isn't just a test of democracy, it's a test of faith. And we have to stand up and speak out against the biblical illiteracy of Donald Trump.
I have now heard everything. We have to stand up against the biblical illiteracy of Donald Trump. It is such an incredible line, because I'm pretty positive it says nothing. And what is being referred to here about the idea of Donald Trump, the Bible exposes Donald Trump and his false white gospel? I don't know what to do with that. Now, as for the things about he's marketing racial grievance, he's marketing our worst demons in isolation, I believe that this author means to discuss Joy Reid. No one is more involved in the marketing of racial grievances than Joy Reid, with the exception of her off-time guest, Ellie Mistal. No one. If we're going to argue it, let's argue it all the way down the line. But the Trump derangement continues. And maybe that's the reason for that latest Biden-Trump poll. I saw a lot of people talking about it. I haven't broken it down yet. The poll states, here it is from USA Today. Biden is not just down against Trump. 49% of those polled said they're expecting to vote for Trump in the 2024 election, compared to Biden's 43%. Now, do not get hung up on the 6% spread. Don't do that. And certainly a poll that would have Trump at 50% plus in that kind of spread is what would make people really engage a full-on panic on the political left. And they're in a panic, don't get me wrong. What's important here is that, as I know the poll from CNN, this is outside the margin of error. Trump's lead over Biden, 49 to 43, is outside the MOE, the margin of error, for the poll itself. And that is the story. The rate of error is 3.4%. So even if we were to round it up to 4, which is being generous, you're plus 6? Okay. Yeah, that should make everybody on the left flat out panic. Maybe that's why you get people on MSNBC talking about, well, he's preaching the false white gospel. He's biblically illiterate. Yes, but can he lower my taxes and bring down inflation? I get it. He's biblically illiterate. He thinks that Job is actually a jobs program. I was going for a Job joke and realized I don't have it. I was going for a Job job joke. I'm like, that is low-hanging fruit. Maybe I can make it work. And you know what? I didn't have it. If you've got good biblical Job jokes, send them to me, tony@tonycats.com. I'm about to get some really weird emails. I'm going to get some super, super weird emails. If the man can lower inflation, That would be enough. Dayenu, that would be enough. See, that's not the Bible, but neither here nor there. This is bad news. Super duper bad news. For Team Biden. That's what makes this poll so interesting. It is not that Trump is ahead. It is that Trump is beating the margin of error. That's the story. So I'm keeping an eye on Columbia University, where the tents are still there. You've got the protesters speaking to the media. Do we want to hear this? All right, let me see if I can. A finger on the dump button just in case there, producer Jason, okay? All right, here we go.
I had a gift to Colombia. We offered to give university back its principles. With all eyes on Colombia, the administration could have chosen to divest in a manner that aligned with its past. Colombia would rather trample its reputation instead of being proud of its students and faculty for raising these incredibly important moral questions. We have been hit with little more than threats and petty attacks.
So this guy's angry that the university isn't more supportive of their nonsense. Oh, well, I guess we're done listening to him, right? Meanwhile, you've got police engaged in confrontations at the University of Texas Austin.
Do you have a sense of whether the state troopers or the police have given some kind of warning, any indication of what they're preparing to do? Clearly, as you say, they're looking to isolate those protesters there and in a sense surround them. And those state troopers certainly look like they are at the ready. And we have seen some violence from them in the past. They have those.
It's the state troopers who are engaged in violence, according to CNN. So they're watching this. They're desperate. They're desperate to be able to go after the police, desperate to be able to go after law and order. This is the despicableness going on. As they continue at Columbia with their rantings.
We will not be moved by these intimidation tactics. You can see outside.
Okay, we're going to jump from.
They're not going to be moved by the intimidation tactics. Yes, she's very, very tough. Super tough. We're keeping our eyes on all of it. Keep it right here. I'm Tony Katz. Kristi Noem will not be on the ticket. He just won't. I'm sorry, she just won't. Because she shot a puppy. And I'm telling you right now that if you want to be on the ticket, you cannot shoot a puppy. Doesn't matter what the puppy did. Puppy could have owed you money. Can't shoot a puppy. Puppy could have bitten off the leg of your sister. Cannot shoot a puppy. And there's really nothing to make fun of here. It's a super weird story. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. That's the number. She has a book. It's called No Going Back: The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. And in the book, she talks about a dog. Cricket. And Cricket went on a pheasant hunt with older dogs to help it learn how to behave. But Cricket, at this pheasant hunt, they were hunting pheasants, don't you know, went out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. Now, the governor then writes that they were trying to keep the dog under control, so they used an electronic collar, which didn't work. So that means they were shocking the dog. On the way home, Cricket gets out of the truck. And what does Cricket do? Attacked chickens belonging to a family. Grabbing one chicken at a time, crunching it to death with one bite, then dropping it to attack another. This made the chickens cry. Kristi Noem pays them for the chickens, cleans up the mess. She added that when she grabbed Cricket the dog then whipped around to bite her. At that moment, I realized I had to put her down. It was not a pleasant job, but it had to be done, she writes. And then she took the dog to a gravel pit. Killed the dog. She claims that she hated the dog, says the dog was untrainable, quote, dangerous to anyone she came in contact with, not Christy Noem, the dog. Allow me for just a moment, if I can. I'm not an expert on training dogs. I am certainly an expert on how people view things politically and rationally in America. If you had to put down your dog, it has to be a very intense experience. If you put down your dog by taking it to a gravel pit and shooting it in the head, you cannot be the Vice President of the United States. You're lucky that people will still allow you on an airplane. If you had shot someone, another human being, in the head of the gravel pit, people would go, well, wait, what happened? They do not want to hear at all anything about what you do to an animal. Christy Noem is out. Now, some people are going to say that she's strong and she's tough and she handled the problem and everyone's just too weak. Yeah, sure, great, whatever. Christy Noem won't be vice president. And if she thinks so, she's out of her head. Out of her mind. We all know it. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone. Take care.